You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast, your daily bite-sized podcast over here at the Locked On NFL Network, giving you the best coverage of all things orange and blue related. I want to thank you guys for joining us. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or even Spotify now, you can listen to Locked On Broncos podcast through the app Himalaya. It's a new podcasting app. This is where you can get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Broncos. Like I said, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. And now the Himalaya podcasting app as well has Locked On Broncos on the wiretap for you. But hey, we're stoked to be back with you guys here once again for another episode of the show. Today's episode, we're going to go into a deep dive. You know, it's a special episode at the same time because we're going to have Broncos safety Will Parks joining us here for segment number three, our Keeping It Will segment. But in the first two segments, segment one, we're going to get through our daily Broncos rundown, some pre-draft visit notes. Segment number two, we're going to go through our Broncos thought of the day on the Broncos situation. What should they do at tight end? Very stoked to be back, you guys, here once again for another episode of the show. I am your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the rest of the NFL, as well as a columnist for the Fansided Networks, predominantlyorange.com. I work with a great group of staff creators, content creators over there. They do a great job every single day giving daily Broncos analysis and news. And I'm joined by one of the contributors over there, Predominantly Orange, my co-host, as always, the one, the only, Cameron Parker. You guys could follow him on Twitter, at Cameron Parker. P.O. Cam, how's it going today, man? I know it was kind of a long week. Where, you know, we had hump day yesterday. Today's Thursday. We're just a few days away from the weekend. Very excited about that. But hey, man, you know what? The weather's clearing up here in Colorado. I'm excited about it. But another good day, bright as always, to talk Broncos football.
Actually, yesterday was the first day of spring, Cody. So, I mean, we're getting there. We're actually inching closer to the NFL draft. And it was a pretty slow day, I would say, as far as maybe NFL signings and what have you. And but I mean, hey, there was a lot of draft news supposedly, and we all know that as we get closer to the NFL draft, a lot of people are creating mock drafts on their own. I know that I spent the majority of my day yesterday creating a majority of mock drafts and what have you. So creating a lot of different scenarios for the Broncos, because we, like the people of Broncos country, really want to find out who are the Denver Broncos going to pick at 10.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is too, a lot of people get really into it and upset when people post mock drafts. Like, look, that's the point of a mock draft. It's just speculation. It's like, hey, you know, here's how this thing formulated, you know, and there's different system. I know FanSpeak has one, the Draft Network has one, but a lot of people are freaking out about it. I've never really seen people freak out about mock drafts the way I have this year. It's really, really weird. They're a really cool, fun tool, completely harmless. So, hey, keep pumping out those mock drafts. You know, we did one a few weeks ago. Love it. We're going to post another one as we get a little bit closer to draft season, but we're going to go through our daily Broncos rundown right here in segment number one. I felt like we start off with some good news. We talked about it the other day. Brennan Langley making that conversion to wide receiver from cornerback. And initially, there was some skepticism at first from Mark Schlereth, who posted something that was perceived the wrong way on Twitter. And that's another example how you can't always interpret the context of something over text. Those two got together for a dinner and they talked things out. They talked about the game. They talked about him switching from cornerback to wide receiver. Brennan Langley posted, "Great dinner with an even better person who has a burning passion for the game. Loved our conversation this evening. You're a stand-up guy in my book, Faith, Family, Football, Mark Schlereth." So it was really cool to kind of see those guys talk it out and work it out. And you know the weird thing? Today, we also get to see Emmanuel Sanders go on 104.3 The Fan and talk with D-Mac. And if anybody knows anything about the history of those two guys, they do not like each other. But this is a one opportunity, I guess, that really seeing Brendan Langley and Mark Schlereth kind of talk things out sparked the interest from Broncos country to get Emmanuel Sanders on there with Troy Rank, good friend of ours, as well as D-Mac on the show. So tune in, 104.3 The Fan this evening, 5 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time for that. It's going to be interesting, though, Cam. But we have some Broncos news that we're going to go over in today's episode of the show. Nothing new, but anytime that there's some pre-draft visits, you know, you almost have to hold the press for a second. Now, first off, the Broncos will be hosting a pre-draft visit with Ohio State quarterback Dwayne Haskins, and he held his pro day yesterday in front of many scouts. Broncos were there in attendance, not John Elway and them. John Elway's in Arizona for the league owners and the commission kind of rule, you know, analyzing all the rule changes. Broncos proposed several rules about a possible 4th-and-15 scenario rather than doing an onside kick. A team would have a chance to have a 4th-and-15 to try to pick up a first down to get the ball back. So I like the idea. It adds a little bit of creativity. I believe the AAF is doing that. So, you know, the NFL trying to experiment a little bit with some different rules, but obviously one of the things is hopefully they don't take away hard-hitting defensive football. But yes, Dwayne Haskins, and there's been some talk that he may not be able to drop to the Giants. I know a lot of people anticipated and put in their mock drafts that they think the Giants are going to pick him. As of right now, I mean, they haven't done a lot of homework on him, according to several sources, but really, we don't know exactly in the NFL community right now who's going who. You know, unless you're the Arizona Cardinals, you might have a hunch, but outside of that, NFL teams do not know who they're going to pick before the draft happens. I'd say probably you might have an idea on who you're going to lock into the week of the draft, but really right now, it's all speculation. But there is talk that, you know, I think several people and media members talked about, hey, you know, if Dwayne Haskins drops to 10, do the Broncos go there? And he definitely has a very good football IQ. He's got his pro day. You can see that he could step up in the pocket and throw the football. He's got a good touch on his passes. He's a different type of prospect that maybe could develop under Joe Flacco, but I just still have a hard time believing that this quarterback class is going to be the answer that I think the Broncos fans have been looking for a future quarterback. But who knows? You know, right now, I could be totally surprised if that happens. You know, but at the same time, Dwayne Haskins, Broncos are going to visit with him, as well as Drew Lock. I know a lot of people, Broncos fans, are pounding the table for Drew Lock as well. But like I said, I still believe it's highly unlikely. And even though the teams are meeting with these players, Cam, right before the draft, it's all just due process in terms of, look, this is how we're preparing for the draft. We're going through and we're interviewing all these other players. We're bringing them in for visits. Keep in mind that at the scouting combine, the Broncos didn't meet with Drew Lock or Dwayne Haskins or, you know, or Kyler Murray, for the example. They didn't do that, so we'll probably have Kyler Murray come in for a visit at some point. But Dalton Risner, a guy out of K-State, is also coming in for a visit. So all the pre-draft process of interviewing guys and is playing out a little bit more as we get a little bit closer to the NFL draft, Cam. But, you know, based on these two things with Dwayne Haskins, Drew Lock, I mean, Cam, if the Broncos were going to pick either of the two, who would you go with?
It'd be kind of tough. I mean, for Haskins, you're basically going to be getting a guy that some, probably even before Kyler Murray, declared as the top quarterback in his class. So, I mean, you would luck out in that regard. You would have him still with his inconsistencies sit under Joe Flacco. But at the same time, there's still inconsistencies with Drew Lock. And I think that that's basically the key with basically every single quarterback that you're looking at this class. And I think for me, I'm probably in the rare case where I think this quarterback class is incredibly underrated. But I mean, at the same time, we're also, you know, if we're going to be doing a compare and contrast, I mean, it's not 2020, it's not 2021. But I think that there's tremendous value that if the Broncos wanted to go after some guys that were not Drew Lock and Dwayne Haskins, they can get that guy. But if they wanted to get the guy at 10 and they had the opportunity to make it a Dwayne Haskins or a Drew Lock, honestly, I feel like because of the fact that if Dwayne Haskins does fall at 10, my guess is you'd be hard pressed to not take Haskins at 10, in my opinion. I mean, if he's there at 10 and you have the opportunity to take him and have him sit under Joe Flacco, and the fact that he was potentially the number one quarterback before Kyler Murray was going to declare, why not take a guy like that because of the inconsistencies? And if you factor in, he was at Ohio State, he had a lot of weapons around him. We saw how effective he was with the touchdown passes in the Big Ten. So, and you factor in the a lot of weapons that the Broncos will have in the future and going forward, it would make a lot of sense to look at an offense like that and everything else, to the point where you can build an offense around Dwayne Haskins and make it to the point where it's somewhat similar to what he had at Ohio State.
I mean, it's certainly possible too. And here's the thing too, and don't listen to Stephen A. Smith. If you guys are listening to this, never listen to Stephen A. Smith on any kind of player analysis, because according to him, Dwayne Haskins is a mobile quarterback, which is the complete opposite if you actually watch film and you look at the stat box, which the only time I tell you to look at the stat box is when it comes to Dwayne Haskins. He is a throwing quarterback. He's a pocket passer. He does have have a huge arm, and that appeal factor is there. With Drew Lock, you know, I'd say in compare and contrast, I think Dwayne Haskins has better footwork and consistency inside the pocket than Drew Lock does. I think that if the Broncos were to select either of those quarterbacks, they would have to tailor their offense around the strengths of those players, and I think they have different strengths. I mean, compare and contrast. Similarly, they both have a very strong arm, but you got to be able to make the short window throws, the medium window throws, as well as on the go. I mean, you got to be able to roll out sometimes and throw on the run. And that's how we see NFL quarterbacks translating to the game now in 2019 and 2018. And I imagine what it's going to look like here in the next 5 years in terms of what quarterback play will look like, how much it'll change and evolve. But we see so much with the spread offense at the college level. You don't really see a lot of under center at the collegiate level, and sometimes you're going to have to come to the NFL and you're going to have to be able to get under center, which is a big thing for the Broncos right now. So something to keep an eye on, but yes, definitely interesting conversation. Those guys, Drew Lock, Dwayne Haskins, will be taking some pre-draft visits with Broncos executives here in the coming weeks. So we'll keep you posted if we hear any more regarding some other pre-draft visits that are being scheduled. But we're going to get to segment number two coming up in just a second, our Broncos thought of the day regarding tight end Jeff Heuerman. But remember, to get this show every day, Locked On Broncos, you can subscribe to Locked On Broncos on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlist and new features every single day. So download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Broncos to get the podcast in your library every single day. Now we head to our Broncos thought of the day. We talked about Jeff Heuerman. You know, he held his press conference. We had a little bit of coverage of that on yesterday's episode of the show. He claims there's some unfinished business there. The question of the day that Broncos Country answered was, with Jeff Heuerman returning to the mix in the year 2019, there still remains a lot of questions regarding Jake Butt coming off of his ACL injury. This is his third ACL injury. Denver will get Troy Fumagalli back. He's got a lot of upside. But should the Broncos draft a tight end early, especially with all the concerns with these three guys and injury? So we got the Broncos Country to respond to our Broncos thought of the day. And we're going to start off with my man, Knows Sports. He says, this is the first I've heard of Fumagalli being anything other than just another guy. He's an unknown. Love Jay Booty, but coming off of back-to-back ACL tears is really tough. Who knows how he'll look this year? Heuerman is a training room decoration, either free agent guy or Irv Smith Jr. at 41 if one falls. And look, here's the thing. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. When it comes to injuries, players want to stay healthy. It's not like they're saying, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting hurt. No, I mean, they wish that they could stay as healthy as I think everybody else does. So, you know, I would say Jeff Heuerman has a chance to break that narrative this year if he has a big year and can stay healthy. Then, he, you know, people can, I think, should start showing him a little bit more respect in terms of what it's like to come back from injury. It's tough. It's really tough. But let's get to our other questions here for the sake of time. We got at newtype_JK47. Cameron, he says, with injuries constantly plaguing our tight end room, I wouldn't be surprised at us getting Noah Font or TJ Hockenson. That being said, I think it is more than likely we go day two or day three for one. The way we build through this year's draft is going to be very interesting. I'd say that's an interesting point there. New type, thank you for your response as always. Cross-eyed Miles says, hashtag Devin White, if only he played tight end. But getting here to our next one, and Cameron, I'm going to go a little bit in depth on some of these. Chef M. Baldwin says, yes, because this class is deep and tremendous. Jake Butt is not in the plans until he shows he is. You need three injury-prone guys. Fumagalli's unknown and draft pick. There's too much unknown about this group to not draft a morale-type guy in rounds three or five. That's pretty interesting as well, Chef. Thank you for that. And then we got my man, Newhouse Nate. He says, I love TJ Hockenson. I think he could be our George Kittle. That said, tight end class is deep and we have other needs. I'm torn, but would be over the moon with an Iowa tight end or Irv Smith Jr. this year.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. I mean, if Denver certainly comes away with either of those tight ends, TJ Hockenson or Noah Fant, I agree with Newhouse Nate. I would be through the moon. You know, I think that with TJ Hockenson being the more complete tight end, it almost wonder if he gets taken higher than Noah Fant. And, you know, I was actually listening to Orange and Blue 760 yesterday, and I believe a dream scenario for Steve Atwater would be getting Devin Bush and then coming back in the first round and snagging Noah Fant. Can you imagine, Cody? That would be a dream scenario. That would absolutely be a dream scenario. And I think for Bronco fans, if you have the opportunity to get a guy like a Noah Fant or even a TJ Hockenson, I think the one thing for TJ Hockenson that just makes me, for me, myself, it's just so appealing is he is that all-around tight end, and he makes a personal on himself to commit to blocking. And I think that that's been, for me, the one plus about him, and I can totally see a guy like a Mike Munchak vouching for him. The question's going to be, will it be pick 10? I don't think right now it'll be end up in pick 10, but guys like Jay Sternberger, who gets a lot of mention here in this thought of the day, actually from, I believe it's T. Pierce 358, 3058. I think that he's definitely going to be listed. From what I gathered, I think he works out with Lauren Landau, the strength and conditioning coach who generally works out with a lot of people.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And like I said, this is a deep tight end class. There are some good options. And I think overall, the concern for the Broncos is health. And really, when you're taking a look at their roster and the health history of Jake Butt, Troy Fumagalli, and even Jeff Heirman, you might want to have to bring in a guy to groom a little bit. And maybe he can, you know, come in and step up. And injuries are always unfortunate. They really are. But moving on here, Derek Johnson says, no, there's so much capital in our tight end among those three. Let them develop. Looking around the NFL, there are only a few tight end who really affect the outcome of a game. Gronkowski, Travis Kelce, to name a few. It's not a position that is a building block of a great offense. For example, quarterback, wide receiver, running back. It should be the cherry on top of an offense. I think that's a pretty fair point there as well. And then, hey, we got our man Kevin Crumley, who says, no, value versus other positions is low. Yes, pick a tight end, but in the third round or deeper, the draft is pretty deep at tight end. Jeff Jackson at TrueJJ32 says, no earlier than the third round, maybe Dawson Knox, Josh Oliver, Drew Sample, or Foster Moreau. Another name. We just got that again from Jeff Jackson. Foster Moreau, keep an eye on him as well. And then Dem Broncos Doe says, only if the tight end's name is Devin White, Devin Bush, or Ed Oliver. Pretty clever there. Our Matt Ty Walden over there, editor of PredominantlyOrange.com, says, I was thinking that the other day. I say no. I agree with you. And then outside of that, we got a lot of people saying, you know, only if it's the third round or a little bit later, they would like for the Broncos to pursue a tight end, which I think is a realistic round. I think with the Broncos, they're going to go defensive player or, you know, really, really talented offensive player at pick number 10. I would say Sarah Bettinger put out a little interesting note there on DK Metcalf. And to be honest with you, the more I think about it, might not be so crazy to take a guy like DK Metcalf, you know, in all honesty. And we'll get to that in another episode as the draft approaches. But it's very interesting to take a look at how the line really falls down for the NFL draft and tight ends and players. I think in the second round, the Broncos should go with offensive line. I think you should go with Risner out of K-State. Those are the guys that really stand out. I just still think picking a tight end in the first round would be super, super risky. And I don't think that's something that the Broncos want to get into. But coming up here in segment number three, we're going to be joined by Broncos safety Will Parks for our segment, Keeping It Will. Will gives us an update on the offseason as the Broncos gear up for offseason program coming up here in the next couple of weeks, as well as OTA's mini camp. Will, it's been very, very busy training. You guys follow him on Twitter at PhillyWill11. But before we jump into that, I got to remind you guys, check out the Locked On Nuggets podcast with Adam Ades. The Nuggets are on the road tonight to take on the Washington Wizards down there in D.C. Tough matchup on the road anytime on this eastern stretch that the Nuggets are having to take on. But the Nuggets, they got their hands full on the road as they take on the Washington Wizards. Check it out as the playoff race continues. The race for the number one seed in the Western Conference goes through the Locked On Nuggets podcast.
It's time for Keeping It Will with Will Parks on Locked On Broncos, your team every day.
We're back with another segment of Keeping It Will with Broncos safety Will Parks. Will, thank you for joining me. I know you're in the busy part of the offseason, you know, still training, still doing all that stuff. And, you know, since the last time we talked, there's been a lot of changes. What's that like for you? Obviously, a new head coach, a new secondary coach, and a new defensive coordinator. I know that based on scheme and looking at some of the things that Chicago did with Ed Donatell and Coach Fangio, there's got to be a lot of excitement for safety this year.
Yeah. You know, especially being with all those guys and the transitions and the new coaches and all that, man. It's been an exciting couple of months, last couple of months for Broncos country. You know, as a fan, I would definitely be excited with the addition of those guys. You know, those guys have a lot of history as far as, you know, making people better and, you know, bringing out the best of their players, and not just on the field and off the field. You know, they're supportive of people's lives and what they do off the field, man. So it's an exciting day just to have a group of guys like that, especially being in a defense like that where a lot of guys can be interchangeable. You know, people, you never know where anyone could be in that kind of defense. And we all know the history that they have behind it, you know, all those guys basically coming from the Chicago Bears and having their defense number one in every major statistical category you can name. And, you know, who wouldn't want to be excited to be a part of a defense like that?
Absolutely, too. And the same thing is Coach Fangio, he's bringing them Philadelphia ties to the field. I know that's something you got to be excited about. Have you guys had a conversation about some of your favorite places to visit in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I met Coach Fangio early January, a little bit after he got the job here in Denver, and you know, we had a conversation in the cafeteria about a lot of things and that story. And you know, ever from being, you know, my side of the country and being in the same state as me, you know, that can go a long way, and that can also build a relationship with me and him, you know, long term. And you know, it's exciting to have a guy like that with that kind of aggressiveness, but at the same time, doesn't take, you know, anything for anybody. He's kind of a down to earth dude, but you know, when things have to get done, he's going to make sure that you get it done. So I'm excited, man. It's been a great couple of months, and I can't wait to get back to work.
Well, and then now you have Ed Donatell coming in to coach the secondary, also help coordinate the defense for Coach Fangio as well. And given his history as a former Broncos coach as well, he's coached the likes of Champ Bailey and even Steve Atwater. You know, what's that like for you coming in, entering year four of your career, being able to work with a guy that has so much experience developing very, very successful defensive backs and taking what they're good at and improving on those areas?
It's vital. It's simple. It's vital. It's vital when you can have a guy like that. Like you said, those names right there, Chen Belly and Steve Atwood alone, you know, who wouldn't want to have a guy who, you know, who's helped, you know, those guys throughout their careers. It's one of those things where, you know, it's an energy feel. You know, energy is real. When you can feel that energy without, you know, stepping on the field with that kind of guy yet, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like a everlasting heartbeat. I mean, it just keeps going, it keeps going, it keeps going. I mean, so I can't wait, man. I'm excited.
I know a lot of fans in Broncos country have been following you on Instagram, on Twitter, at PhillyWill11, and you've been busy, man. You've been doing a lot of things, a lot of training, but not only just with the training aspect. I want to get to that here in a minute, but you spent a lot of time this offseason going back and forth between Denver and your hometown of Philadelphia, doing a lot of stuff, hosting some community events for local elementary schools. What have you been up to this summer outside of all that in terms of community outreach? And we have some exciting things as well. You just announced that you're going to be hosting your first ever Parks Place football camp in the city of Philadelphia on June 29th.
Yeah, you know, my off season this year has been very different. I cut a lot of things that I used to do out, and a lot of things that will kind of hold me back from the things that I have to do. And throughout your career, and what I've learned, you know, being around a bunch of great pros is, you get out what you put in. And my off season this year has been simple. I haven't been doing anything else but training. Anything else. I haven't been doing anything else with training. I've been in Philly. I've been in Denver. I've been in Texas. Yes, I've been in Philly. I have a train out there. I'm in Texas as we speak. You actually just called me after I just got out of a workout. And that's all I've been doing. I mean, it's been simple. I mean, that's the only thing that I can really talk about because that's all I've been doing. I can't sugarcoat what I haven't been doing because that's it. And I'm actually going back to Philly next week to train some more. And I have three school visits set up just to, you know, do a community outreach. And when I do those things, I don't kind of, you know, go in there and try to give them speeches about nonsense. I keep it real with him. I let him know, like, hey, man, you know, if I can embrace a change, or if I can help people with my platform, you guys can too. I'm not saying you could be NFL players or NBA players or whatever, but with whatever platform you have to reach a community like ours in Philadelphia, is very important. You know, with everything that's going on now with the, you know, all the killings and robberies and violence, it's just getting worse and worse. So when a guy like me can go home and get back and give back to the community and also help people to understand that there's a better way of life, that can go a long way with these kids and their future.
It really can. And you know, I think a lot of people in Denver, the community I've spoken to, they really appreciate how much you really give back. And it's always, you know, the type of thing, you never kind of put yourself out there to a point where, like, you know, I just do this. You do this because you have a good heart, and a lot of people in Denver recognize that. And you give fans a different perspective of you that I don't think a lot of people see with professional athletes, because you know it as well as I do. In this type of business, we always see where people view football players as just football players, and they don't look at the human side of what they do. And that could be very, very frustrating. I mean, you mentioned that you deal with that kind of thing every single day on social media, which could be a blessing and a curse.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, you got the trollers, you know. I've never been a big Twitter guy. I mean, I've had Twitter for like the last 8-7 years. I'm doing like 2013, I don't even have 10,000 tweets yet. So, you know, sometimes I get on there and people say stuff all the time, and I don't do it because I'm mad. I'm doing it because I want to laugh. You know, it's funny, and it's just funny when, you know, I've been like that all my life. You know, I've always been in a position where people never, ever wanted to just acknowledge me. So my mindset as a kid has always been, I don't care what you say, I know what I can do. You know what I mean? So that's been like a big eye opener for me, as far as just, you know, and at the same time using your social media platform the correct way. You know, we don't have to disrespect others, but at the same time, sometimes you have to let somebody know. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things too about the NFL offseason, it's hard, and we talked about this before, the business aspect of the game is always tough. And in that secondary room, in that safety room, you know, losing a guy like Darian Stewart, a guy who's been a leader and a veteran for this team for quite some years, that's always a change. You know, one thing that in life that's guaranteed is change, and we see it all the time. What does that do for you entering that safety room almost now as one of the most solidified veterans on the roster, especially for some of the young guys, you and Demonte Thomas, Sua Cravens? You're heading into this upcoming season as a guy with a lot of prestige in that safety room.
Man, I train out here in Texas with Chris Harris, and you know, the leadership that he has built in our room, I've picked up a lot of that. The leadership that Darian Stewart has put in our room, I picked up a lot of that. Going back to TJ and Talib, you know, you can't not give those guys the credit and the respect that they have put as far as chemistry in that room. And you know, and for me, the type of player I am, energetic, I like to get my guys involved each and every way possible. I have to have that. I have to have all four of those energies from Chris, from TJ, from Talib, and even from Stu, man. I have to have that energy consistently throughout the room, because those guys were, I mean, they were the best to do it, in my opinion, collectively as a group. You know, being, you know, even when I came in 2016, we were number one in pass defense. We were number one in pass defense again, and the before everybody left. And that kind of chemistry that they had, you know, that's the kind of chemistry, if not even more, that I kind of want to instill into the DB room. And I can feel it. It'll probably be up to me and Justin and Chris. You know, just getting those guys, you know, on board as far as, hey man, this ain't no, we can fix it. We have to go now. You know, this is work time. You know, we've had a bad three seasons. Like, I haven't been to the playoffs yet. Neither has Justin Simmons. Neither has Chris Harris in the past three seasons. And that guy's all pro, so he wants that feeling. You know, we all want that feeling. And if you don't want that feeling, then you don't need to be on our team.
And that's always the crazy thing about the NFL. It's so competitive. We look at teams like Kansas City, who, you know, offensively, they created a very, very explosive offense. But the moves the Broncos have made this offseason have, you know, pretty much been a chess match. So, like, look, we're going to match a defense up against that type of offense that we're confident can slow things down. And based on those moves, too, with the release of Darian Stewart, you know, a veteran guy going, he's going to have a chance to go play somewhere else. But evidently, his mentorship, his leadership has been very monumental on you. But taking a look at that, too, a lot of people were thinking in free agency the Broncos are going to be looking at adding a safety. The fact that they didn't says that they have so much confidence in what you, Demonte Thomas, and Justin Simmons can bring to the table. And Coach Fangio said it best in his press conference when he was introduced. He said when he first came to Chicago, they had a bunch of just veteran guys, and they didn't develop the young guys, and that's what led to some of the struggles they had in Chicago. And then they fixed that by developing the young guys. You're entering year four of your career. What kind of expectations do you have heading into team workouts that are coming up here soon, OTAs and minicamp?
To be honest, Cody, I have no expectations and no goals. Those words carry limits. I don't have no limits. You know, I like to think of myself as a guy who just doesn't care. He's always going up. He's there, so he's a monster. He's a maniac. That guy. How can you describe Will Perry? I don't know. He's just. That's how I want to be. You know, there's no limits. You know, the expectations and goals, man. Those are great words to live by. But I can't do that anymore. You know, I don't want to limit myself. And but going into the you know, the OTAs and workouts with the guys, man. The one thing I can say that I am looking forward to is building that camaraderie, building that trust within one another. And the biggest thing, man, is building accountability. Being accountable for your actions. Hey, man, look, if you're gonna be late, let us know. If you're not gonna be on time or you're not gonna show up, let us know. If you have to leave early, let us know, man. It's all about that, because those little things. I was listening to an interview that Ed Reed had. He was talking to somebody. He was like, that year we won a Super Bowl or something. He said, but that year we won. Like, all the little things matter. The guys were throwing towels outside of the towel bin, like the towel bin wasn't sitting right next to the locker, and I was yelling at guys, hey man, throw that towel in the towel bin. You know, that matters. And it's not being picky, it's not being weird, it's not trying to be a coach's pet or anything. It's about just being accountable and letting people know, hey man, if we want to do what we say we want to do, then we got to do everything the right way. We got to live right, we got to eat right, we got to do right, and everything going to be all right.
Absolutely, and that goes with Coach Fangio's mentality. He said, you know, we want to avoid death by inches, which is an accumulation of all those small things adding up to big things that could, like you said with Ed Reed, one of those little things like throwing the towel on the floor instead of in the bin. I mean, that could be a rep on a field where a guy maybe slows up on a potential tackle, the guy ends up breaking through it and running for a touchdown. I mean, those little things absolutely matter. And one thing, Will, that Broncos fans definitely have shared feedback with me is that they love your energy, they love your heart, they love your passion. And one of the biggest things, too, is they love that you've taken such a monumental step in your career, especially coming out in this past season, really kind of making a name for yourself even more so. And I know everybody is excited to see what you can do in the year 2019.
Yeah, man. I love Broncos country. They embraced me since the first day I walked in, through the good and through the bad. I can't forget that. And, you know, I appreciate, you know, everybody for showing love and for showing support, not just for me, man, but for the whole team. But, you know, I have a lot of work to do, Cody, and that's why I've been grinding so hard and just putting myself in tough situations. Like, hey, man, you got an opportunity to go here. Nah, I got to train. Hey, man, do you want to do? Nah, I got to train. I mean, that's where my mindset has been. So by you telling me that, those words don't do nothing to me but motivate me to do more.
I would say that is locked in, and we are locked on with Broncos safety Will Parks here on Keeping It Will. And Will, thank you for joining us to give us a summer update on the offseason grind. I look forward to when we can continue this through training camp and obviously during the regular season. Look forward to having you back on here for our Keeping It Will with Broncos safety Will Parks.
Yes, sir. Cody, you the GOAT.
As always, I want to thank Broncos safety Will Parks taking time out of his busy offseason schedule to jump on here and talk football with us. Big season in store for Will Parks, looking to take that next step into his fourth season as a pro. And I guarantee you, he's got a lot of energy that I'd be excited to play alongside a guy like Will Parks. He's learning all these lessons from Darian Stewart, Chris Harris, TJ Ward, Aqib Talib, and he's channeling all that into becoming very close with his DB unit, the safeties, and the cornerbacks. So I want to thank you guys here. That'll do it for today's episode of Locked On Broncos. I want to remind you guys before we get off air, if you haven't already done it, if you're subscribed on iTunes, that's what's up. But you can now subscribe to the Locked On Broncos podcast on the Himalaya podcast app. Check it out today. Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast. Now you can add it to Himalaya Podcast. Definitely check it all out. Subscribe, leave a review on the Lockdown Broncos podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for another episode of the show. Broncos former safety Nick Ferguson, he joins the show to talk Broncos offseason moves as well.